Well, thank you, kids, Rod, Beth, and group. I know it took a team effort for all of you guys. That has to be the best Christmas story I've ever seen reenacted. Amen. So if you're feeling down today, just put a smile. There you go. We'll look for the switch back here. Wouldn't that be great? How awesome. What a very creative way to tell an awesome story. Thank you. That was super. You know, this Advent, we've been looking at the Word of God who became flesh and moved into the neighborhood, who moved into our world. And today, we want to look at the sacrificial Word of God and how John introduces him to us as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So if you have your Bibles, you'll read that in John 1:29. The Word of God, the sacrificial Lamb. You know, it's no wonder that the angels brought the good news first to the shepherds, because they dealt with lambs. This morning, we're going to look at how sacrificial lambs have been used throughout the Bible, ending with the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. We begin in Genesis 22. It's a familiar story, Abraham and Isaac. It's an unusual story. Abraham was commanded by God to offer his own son, Isaac, as a sacrifice on the altar on Mount Moriah. Well, this was a test of Abraham's obedience and faith. And on the journey to the mountain, Isaac looked at the materials of the sacrifice and, being the sharp young man that he was, noticed that something was missing. Genesis 22, he said, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father? Yes, my son. Abraham replied, The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. When they arrived on the spot for the sacrifice, Abraham built the altar. He arranged the wood. He bound Isaac. He placed him on the altar, and he raised his knife to sacrifice his son. Knowing now that Abraham trusted him, even with the life of his only son, God stopped Abraham from killing Isaac and provided in his place a lamb. The lamb was sacrificed, saving Isaac, the lamb that was in place of Isaac. Abraham named that place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Centuries later, God would again provide a lamb for the sacrifice for sin. We move from Canaan to Egypt. We see that God's people had become slaves in Egypt. It's a familiar story. They were being beaten and abused with no hope of deliverance. But God had a solution. In order to save his people and set them free, he sent 10 plagues. Now, what's interesting was the 10th plague, it was the slaying of the firstborn throughout the land of Egypt. Only God's people were not exempt. It would include the firstborn among the Israelites as well. The sacrifice then, in order to force Pharaoh to set God's people free, while at the same time save God's people from judgment, God commanded that his people would take a lamb. It would be a lamb without blemish, sacrifice it, and place the blood of the lamb on the sides and on the tops of the door frames of their homes. And he said in Exodus 12, the blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Because of the blood of the lamb, God's people were spared judgment. The blood of the lamb applied to their homes saved them. The Passover lamb then, in a sense, became the basis of all the sacrifices of the Old Testament. Exodus 12, this is the day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. Hence, the institution of the Passover lamb was enlarged and it was applied to God's people. Through the sacrifice of the lamb, God's people would be redeemed. They would have fellowship with God. Exodus 29, this shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. Well, I will meet you to speak to you. The sacrifice of the lamb then was a required practice in the life of Israel, since there could never be forgiveness of sin without sacrifice. Bible's very clear on that. Hebrews 9. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. The practice then of sacrificing lambs looked forward to a day when a spotless lamb would be slain and the blood placed on the doorposts of human hearts, cleansing them from sin, setting them free from slavery to sin, so that God's judgment would pass over them. The prophet Isaiah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, described the sacrificial lamb in detail 700 years before he came. There's a great passage in the Bible, Isaiah 53. It's 4 through 12, but I just want to focus on two of those verses. Verses 6 and 7. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. It's as if God kind of pulled aside the curtain of time to let the people of Isaiah's day look ahead to the suffering of the future Lamb of God, the Messiah, and the resulting forgiveness made available to all humankind. The detailed description that Isaiah gave of a sinless person laying down his life for the sins of the world was exactly fulfilled in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. All of these Old Testament truths, all of this Old Testament tradition, it came to a head with John the Baptist's pronouncement, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus' goal in coming to earth was not simply to be our teacher, was not simply to be our example. He came to be the sacrifice. He came to be the sacrifice for the sin of the world, for your sin and for my sin. Matthew 20, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus Christ came to earth that first Christmas for the very purpose of being the sacrificial lamb. So how does that lamb apply to us? How does it speak to us today? How does it relate to us? My friends, the Lamb of God has been provided. The Lamb of God has been sent. The Lamb of God has been sacrificed. However, has a Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, been received by us? Even as the blood of the Lamb had to be applied to the doorposts of the Israeli homes in Egypt on that fateful night, when God's judgment fell on that nation, so too we must by faith take the blood of Christ that has been shed for us and for our sins and apply it personally to the doorposts of our hearts. 1 Peter 1, great passage. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. What good news! No wonder we call it the good news. And in the end, we see a picture of a lamb. Revelation 5:12, in a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." From Genesis to Revelation, we discover that God sent his only Son, the sinless Lamb of God, to come to earth and pay for our salvation with his own precious blood. A number of years ago now, it was following Thanksgiving vacation that our son Aaron flew back to Denver so that he could go back to college in Colorado Springs. Well, Aaron flew to the Denver airport where he waited to hitch a ride back to the Springs. Snow, ice, poor visibility, all delayed traffic, it was a mess. And they were supposed to be going from Denver to the Springs. While Aaron was waiting in the airport, he linked up with other Air Force cadets and all trying to get from the airport back to school. Well, a fellow student came to Denver with a car, but she was not able to take all the students. You know what it's like to try to pile everybody in. And so Aaron remained behind in Denver to wait for another ride. Well, the freeway to Colorado Springs was a skating rink. So this group of students decided to take an alternate route south. Well, after several hours on a normally one-hour trip, the students came upon a car that was in a ditch. Well, Patrick, one of the passengers, suggested they stop. Let's see if we can help. So they stopped, all five students got out of the car, they walked across the highway to the other car that was in the ditch, and they were told by the motorist, "You know what, thanks, but I'm good." He had already made the call, the tow truck was on his way, no problem. So the student said, "Okay, that's cool." So they turned around and they started walking back across the highway. Well, it's pretty dark at this point, but it's also very slippery, so you know what it's like when some of you guys have been out here in the parking lot or whatever. You're just walking gingerly, and you're kind of watching where you're walking. Well, everybody, the five students, are now walking kind of gingerly, walking back to their car. And suddenly, each student heard his name or her name yelled, and they looked up, and it was only then they saw a Jeep Cherokee speeding towards them. They all dove off the road on separate sides. All that is, except for one cadet who had seen the Jeep coming, and he stood yelling their names to save them, to warn them. You see, he didn't have time to save himself. He was hit with the full force of the speeding vehicle, which continued to careen off into the night. Patrick was thrown 50 feet away into the ditch. He was killed instantly. The sacrifice of one saved four. A young man who was just returning from Thanksgiving vacation with his family, who moments before the accident, he was on the cell phone with his mom, telling her that they were stopping to help a stranded motorist, and he would call her right back. That call never came. When you look at that, you think, what a horrible tragedy. But Patrick's story doesn't end tragically. You see, Patrick, the young man who died, knew the Lamb of God personally. Years before this, he had applied the blood of the Lamb to the doorposts of his heart through personal faith in Jesus Christ. He knew that the sacrifice of one saved the world. And it was in this same spirit that Patrick was willing to sacrifice his life for his friends. Sacrifice of one saved the four. The sacrifice of one saved the world. Jesus, the Lamb of God, the sacrificial word, come to us this Christmas. Would you bow with me? Lord God, we want to thank you. Thank you, God, for sending your Son, Jesus, from the protection and from the glories and the privilege of heaven to come to earth and to be with us. And Jesus, we want to thank you that you came. And as much as we enjoy the Christmas story, and we enjoy the angels and the announcements of good news, and we see the baby in the cradle, and it's all wonderful, we still understand that the purpose that this child came, the purpose that the Son of God came, the purpose that the Messiah came, that you came from heaven to earth, it was to be a sacrifice for us. And the truth, Lord, is that none of us in this place deserve such a sacrifice. None of us in this place can ever merit that kind of gift or sacrifice or love that you have extended to us. And yet, you still made the sacrifice, even if it was just for one of us. But the good news is it was for all of us. Us and everybody living around us, people who don't look like us at all or sound like us, but all of us in this whole world, Jesus, you came and died for us. And so we're praying today, help us. Help us to make sure that we have applied your shed blood to the doorposts of our hearts, so that we know and thank you and are so grateful that you have died for us, and we know that our sins are forgiven and that one day we will be with you in heaven. But Lord, don't let us stop there, because there are some people living around us that they don't even know this good news. Their life is full of bad news right now. And they don't know you, and we want them to know you. We know that you love them very, very much, and they might be near and dear to us, but they're dearer to you. And so, Lord, we pray this Christmas, not only would we have applied the blood of the Lamb to the doorposts of our hearts, but we will help others do the same so that they can have their faces go from fear and concern and worry, like we saw on the shepherds and on the characters of this story, to expressions of joy and thanksgiving now and forever. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.